to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Oh no, I can't hear you. What the? Did you unmute your mic? And welcome
to episode
100.
Sorry, my microphone was like, what? We're live. Oh, sorry. Where's the red button? No. I'm back. I don't
Hello.
Know where it was before, but happy 100th, by the way.
Happy 100th. Wow. So, Ryan and I are super excited this week and are having all kinds of technical difficulties as we normally do. So really, it's a tribute to the last, 100 episodes. But yeah, we are fighting through tech issues. We are going to do this if it kills us. So excited. We have been going for almost 2 years now. And as far as I know, with the exception of Nerdtacular, we have not missed a week. Is that correct, Mr. Murphy?
Yeah, I would say whether it's we find a guest to pitch in for when Jocelyn's off or when I'm off, we've always had a show. I think Nerdtacular was just like, man, this is the first time we've seen each other face to face. We already talked a lot. So yeah. Maybe we should just, you know, the podcast will just be like, I feel like we just did this. Except yeah. We weren't recording. So we took a week off.
Exactly. Yeah. So other than that, we have not missed a week since we started this in December of, 2011, I guess. Holy crap.
That's so long ago.
It does seem so long ago. So actually, off the top of the show, I wanted to show everybody what my super amazing, awesome best friend in Toronto sent me. I got this in the mail today. The actual mail.
Whoa.
It's a congratulatory shark card that says, oh, goody. You can't really see it because it's a little blown out on the camera, but it says, oh, goody. And then it's basically, there are 100 Gamers Inn episodes to enjoy. And then she goes on to tell me about how I started, which is being very, very excited about having my tweet read on an episode of The Final Score. And that was really the start of my love affair with podcasting, my love affair with Frog Pants and Scott Johnson. Not actually having a love affair with Scott Johnson. I should probably...
I was going to say, you met him in person a couple times. You better be careful what you say.
No, I just mean my love affair with the whole Frog Pants network, all of the fans.
Love affair.
Everyone is amazing. And so all of that started out of Frog Pants and out of being involved in the Final Score community. And I can't thank them enough. I can't thank the fans enough. Ryan, do you have anything that you, anyone or anything you want to say or thank before we get into what we're playing?
I don't know. I thank the people who listen, obviously. I mean, when we started this, we weren't really sure, you know, it's like, let's do a podcast. All right, let's put it online and see what happens. But I want to thank the people who listen for sure.
Oh, is that it?
Sorry.
You totally caught me like mid-beer chug there.
Oh, yeah, beer. I didn't bring
yes,
beer. How can I celebrate?
It's episode 100. We're celebrating, exactly. So I have my frosty mug of beer. Mm. It's a very dark one. It's brand new.
Yeah, but I have to agree with you in the sense that, you know, definitely Frog Pants is something that got me into podcasting, again, in the sense of just listening to them. They make up a majority of what I listen to, so definitely like Scott and Nicole and Brian on The Final Score. Like, that was sort of our goal when we were building the show, like, let's make it as awesome as that. I think the one key thing we said was we weren't going to do old school.
Yeah, no.
It's like, let's just do that, but not old school.
Not old enough to do old school.
It's like, now we're going to play Mario Kart 64, and then all the people over the age of 30 just get angry at us.
Yeah, they're nuts at old school. Yeah. Fracking kids off my lawn.
Exactly.
So I do actually want to give a quick shout out before we get into all of this to our live chat room. You guys have been with us for, I guess we've been doing this live since about episode 20 or so. You guys have been with us the whole way, whether it's on our home Twitch channel or whether it's over on the Amove Twitch channel. You guys have been with us every Friday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, whenever we happen to be recording. You guys are awesome. Thanks for coming out. We love you so much, yeah. And the support is fantastic. So with that said, what we're playing this week, at least for me, is what we're not playing.
What aren't you playing, Jocelyn?
I am not playing my 3DS, which is so upsetting.
I'm frustrated.
I was so frustrated because I was so excited. I got an email from Future Shop on Thursday night, and it was like, your item is shipped. And I was like, oh, my Zelda is coming. My Zelda is coming. And then I was like, okay, so I'm not going to click tracking right away. I'm going to, you know, do this whole sleep thing because it won't actually be here right away. So I'm just going to follow it tomorrow and see what's going on. So I click on the link this morning, and it says, your thing has left Mississauga, and I was like, okay, great, you know, like, I know it usually takes about a day to get from Ontario out to Nova Scotia, this isn't a problem, except that it's going by Canada Post. My estimated delivery date is the 27th. That is 5 days from now! 5 days!
That sucks.
Canadian. Because,
yeah, just, I was so looking for, I think I tweeted that I said that, you know, new Super Mario game, you know, actually just in general, new Wii U game, Jocelyn's buying a 3DS and playing a Zelda game again.
Yeah.
And it's our 100th episode, and Future Shop just had to go and ruin it by putting the St. Lawrence or the whatever water body is in there in our way. You know?
Put all that space and mountains between me and my 3DS.
Actually, sure. I shouldn't blame Future Shop, probably blame, like, icebergs or something. I don't know, but I'm curious now. I don't want to make you feel weird. I'm not going to talk about the game because I've been playing it, and
if you spoil it for me, I swear to God I will hunt you down.
I played the first 20 minutes, and guess what? You wear a green tunic. Oh my God,
you bastard.
Exactly. Hang up. 100 episodes down the drain.
Doing this again.
I'm not going to hype it up. I think that you'll enjoy it. And I'm looking forward to having that conversation where we talk about a Zelda game and hopefully we're happy. But, you know, and then the kids.
As long as they don't make me do this with the 3DS and, like, shake it all around, I'll be okay.
I don't know what you did, but I think you're fine. I was curious, though, like, I pre-order stuff from Future Shop and get it shipped. And we had this conversation off air in the sense that I'm closer to the warehouse, but did they not have an option to, like, pre-order it, like, in-store to go pick it up?
Not that I noticed, and we don't have a car. So the closest Future Shop, I wouldn't have been able to get there today anyway. And I thought if I got it shipped, I would know for sure that it was coming. You know, I was really, really worried after what happened with the Animal Crossing versions. Like, those things sold out like crazy. And I was like, okay, they're making this really cool, like, Link Between Worlds, half gold, half black, 3DS, like, this is going to sell out, right? So I was just like, you know, I've been waiting for this. It's been about 6 months since I decided that I wanted to get the 3DS. It's been about 3 months since I could actually realistically afford it. And, you know, I was really planning on purchasing it. And I've had to wait that 3 months for the Zelda version that wasn't even announced until, like, what, 3 weeks ago? Uh-oh, Ryan, I lost you again. Fix your mic. Jesus.
Sorry, I don't know what's going on. It was fine. Anyways, so you were holding out in 6 months, and now you got to wait another 5 days.
I was so looking forward to having my hands on this 3DS and being able to play and, you know, just getting the whole Zelda experience again. Really being excited about a Zelda, about going back to kind of Link to the Past sort of an idea as opposed to kind of the way that more of the recent titles have gone. So super excited. Really loved all of the announcements they made, like having the store available so you could choose whatever items you wanted to buy and how you wanted to play and when you wanted to play it. It just sounds like it's really going to fit me, and then to find out I'm not actually getting it today, I was like, oh, uber disappointed. And I don't even like the word uber.
Oh. Well, I mean,
look what you did to me, Future Shop. You made me say uber.
You'll get it eventually, and it's a wait, and it sucks, and
and realistically, I am not going to have any time to play this weekend anyway, because I don't know how much I can actually say about it, but what I can say is that I got a beta key for Elder Scrolls Online, so I would not be playing Zelda this weekend anyway, because it's only good to get me in from Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. So you guys are lucky I'm even here until Sunday at midnight. So it's a very short window. That's all I'm doing this weekend is I am going to kick some PvP ass in Elder Scrolls.
Okay, boom. Well, that's good. That's a positive. Yes, if there's a silver lining here, I mean, I know I would be torn if I had both of those. I mean, on one hand, it's a beta that is lasting 3 days and, you know, whatever.
A game that I really can't wait to play.
That's true, too. So you're kind of stuck. But now you're not. Thank now, you, I'm Future not... Shop. Back on the good list. Even though I'm still
upset.
Taking
my choice away. My free will, you bastards.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so
good.
I'm very, very excited to get my hands on Elder Scrolls. I've been following the news. I've been reading up on the site, which is something I don't usually do. I kind of get my news the way most gamers do, from the aggregate sites, you know, your Joystick, your Polygon, your IGN, all those kind of things. So, you know, I don't often actually go to websites. The two that I go to pretty religiously for all of their news and everything else straight from the source are WildStar and Elder Scrolls Online. So right. I've been all on top of this, super excited. Like, I can't wait to get in. And yeah, so again, I don't know what I can actually say. I'm pretty sure I can't say anything other than the fact that I'm in, but anything that I can share with you, I will share with you, and I am super pumped. So that's what's going to happen to me this weekend, which is actually, I'm kind of bummed because I started a new job this week. It's my first week of Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, mm-hmm. and I was really looking forward to having this weekend to actually play what you've been playing, which is Burial at Sea. So how are you liking that? Because I've seen some pretty crappy reviews of that.
Oh, a 7 isn't crappy.
Okay, in a world where games start at 10 and very rarely get 8s, a 7 is pretty much shit.
Man, I don't know. I think a lot. I understand the people's issues with it. It's definitely a condensed BioShock Infinite. It's about 4 hours long.
Well, it's DLC. If it was much longer than, like, I mean, BioShock Infinite altogether was only 10 to 15 hours, depending on how many secrets you looked for and how much exploring you did. If you just barreled through the storyline, you could get that shit done in, like, 10 hours. So, yeah. If you're giving DLC, or not giving DLC away, but if you're creating DLC that's much longer than half the length of your original game, like, you kind of have to take that into account, don't you?
Right. Well, I mean, I was just trying to sort out, like, what the issue is. Like, I enjoyed it. There are, you know, segments that aren't as great as others. Like, the first section of it, as we all know, the first third is very guided, very just walk around and explore, no combat kind of thing.
Thought it was more than that. I thought it was supposed to be, like, almost the entire DLC was no combat, exploring, like... Because as far as I could tell, Burial at Sea does take place in Rapture, but it's not Rapture like we know it. It's Rapture before it goes downhill.
Right. And, I mean, it's the lore has stated in the past that, you know, Rapture was this great, safe place to live, and then in a second it went to shit. I mean, mm-hmm. but if you, in this sort of DLC, I mean, I don't know whether that's true, but that's kind of the vibe you get based on some of the flashbacks in BioShock 2, I think. But in this one, it's a little more realistic in the sense that when you're exploring Rapture, you're seeing the Big Daddy, you're seeing the Little Sisters, you're seeing the people who live there, the high and mighty, but not so racist people.
which is probably a nice shift.
Yeah, they're not racist. They're actually very, you know, they're probably... the meanest, nicest people around. You know, they're very accepting. There's a gay couple looking off into the sunset, which was very nice to see. You know, they're very accepting there. The Big Daddies don't hurt anybody. Not a lot of kids.
No drills to the face.
No drills to the face. I was just trying to think, like, is there a drill to the face? There was no drill to the face. And if there was, like, yeah, there's no drill to the face. The game, the first third, yeah, is basically walking around and exploring and doing tasks that just involve talking to people. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet up with Elizabeth. I'm not going to spoil any story stuff because I really want you.
Oh God, no, yeah, no, don't be a spoiler pants.
No, I'm not wearing pants. At least I'm not wearing my spoiler pants. I should have clarified that.
No one can tell. I mean, really and truly, neither one of us could be wearing pants. We had this conversation on the Angry Chicken this week. I mean, yeah, no, we never wear pants. Why would we wear pants?
You do 100 episodes, you start to get so good at this, you don't need to wear pants.
Exactly. I used to dress up. Now I'm just like, t-shirt and undies. That's it. No pants.
Undies. Anyways, back to the show. Burial at Sea is... a lot of fun if you want to revisit the BioShock universe, because you're not going to get to for a very long time, if at all, after this. I mean, Irrational has been doing this series for a very long time, so it's worth it. And the story is, you know, it's very good.
Are we not getting any other Burial at Sea, but any other DLC associated with BioShock?
We're getting episode 2 of Burial at Sea, mm-hmm. Which is a direct continuation of obviously of episode 1. And when you play through episode 1, the it's just really interesting. I'm trying to tiptoe around.
Trying not to, yeah. Okay, how about the ending of episode 1? Is it...
I was trying to tiptoe around it. No, but,
well, we all know episode 1 must end, otherwise you would still be playing it. So is it cliffhanger-y? Is it just kind of like this weird cut that feels like episode 1 and 2 should have just been one piece of DLC? Like, how did you feel at the end? Were you...
I want to wedge myself in between those two. Kind of just curl right in between and kind of sit there.
I think, walk the line / stand on the fence like you always do.
No. It, when you play through it, you'll understand what I'm saying in the sense that, you know, it's not a dun-dun-dun, come back next week kind of ending, but it's also not a, you know, clear-cut ending. You know, it is cliffhanger-y in a sense, but you're more thinking... how are they gonna do that? As opposed to, I can't wait to see what they do with that. You know? And again, no spoilers, the last two thirds is very combat heavy. And
which I'm sure a lot of people will be happy about.
Yeah, and it is very, it's the interesting type of combat. The thing I didn't like about Infinite was the micromanaging of small enemies and big enemies. In this one, it's mostly smaller enemies, and they're easy to handle. And it was more fun because, you know, you're zipping around. Oh, yeah, they added zip lines to Rapture.
Why wouldn't they?
It's a bit of a retcon, I guess, but it's really cool. And I'm looking forward to episode 2. And if anybody complains about price, make sure you buy the season pass because at $15 a pop, it's actually $20 for the season pass, and that gets you everything. Oh, cool.
Does that include the, what was it called? Something about, like, Among the Clouds or the
Clash in the Clouds?
Pardon me?
It was Clash in the Clouds, which was...
Clash in the Clouds, yeah.
Yeah, the combat arena
stuff. The non-story, the arena stuff, yeah. Which, so is that included in the season pass, too?
Yeah, it is. And that stuff's interesting. I found it was a great way to be like, I love BioShock, and I just finished it, and I'm on a high, and I want to go play more BioShock. That's a great way to get that fixed and then be like, yeah, I think I'm good now. I'm gonna go play something else. But no, it's interesting and I look forward to having a spoiler-filled discussion about it.
That's awesome. So we're gonna have our Burial at Sea spoiler cast, we're gonna have our Zelda spoiler cast. What else have we got going on? What are you gonna be picking up in the next couple of weeks? Because I know you got your PS4... I don't know, you weren't planning on getting an Xbox One today, right?
No, I did make a trek to Walmart just out of curiosity, and I did see on Twitter that they've sold through, and Microsoft has sold a million Xbox Ones, and PS4 sold a million copies as well, and hell, next gen's going great, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah. I mean, if you're listening, I applaud you if you have an Xbox One. I'm not picking up anything. I actually just picked up two games last night. I picked up the new Mario game on Wii U, which is as fantastic as the reviews state. Mm-hmm. The only problem is you have to own a Wii U.
There's that.
Yeah. Which I know everybody listening is like, okay, next game.
I was going to say, yeah, we are totally not going into that whole $400 game discussion again.
Exactly. But, yeah, it's fantastic. And I bought a Link, the Zelda game, and I don't know, I'm not
buying it. I keep wanting to call it Link to the Past, and So if I do that over the next couple of weeks, guys, I'm really sorry, but I've been calling it Link to the Past, like, every single time I've been talking about it, and it's not Link to the Past, it's a Link Between Worlds.
Yes.
Which... is just for some reason not sticking in my head. So
it's tough. Like that title's kind of weird in the sense.
It is kind of weird. It doesn't flow. I don't know what it is about it, but it just.
I think it's between.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah,
I don't know. It's the title makes sense, but it's it's a tough one to grasp. And
yeah.
I think those two games are really going to be keeping me busy, at least until Boxing Day. I hope to pick up something on the PS4. I've been playing Killzone, and really it's like I'm kind of done with first-person shooters, you know? I wanted something to play with pretty graphics, but I'm kind of bored with first-person shooters now, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of want a racing game, but then I remember that I don't really play racing games, so I'm kind of lost.
I am so bummed that when we went to do Extra Life, we couldn't get Mario Kart working, and yeah. I can't find my copy of Mario Kart on the Wii, and it's so pissing me off because I got the collector's edition with that stupid wheel and everything else. Like, I mean, and just not being able to find that disc is driving me insane. So that is the only real racing game that I ever really got heavily into is the Mario Kart, just the whole series. But I mean, like, in terms of just, oh, I can't, I really want to play it now. And I think it's because I can't.
Well, you know, not to, you know, bring up the 3DS again, but if you really want to play Mario Kart and you're looking to add another, like, I find I get fatigued if I have one game for a brand new system. You know, you kind of, you play the same thing nonstop.
Oh, no, I'm going to be picking up, there's the Super Mario 3D Land, there's 3D Land or 3D World, whatever it is, the Super Mario game anyway, Zelda, which comes with the system, I'm going to get Animal Crossing, because everybody seems to love it, I'm going to get Pokemon, because Pokemons!
You're getting all those games, you're not going to have time for anything.
This is why you wait until the system is out for a while, like...
That's a valid way to go about things. I mean,
Pokemon's is.
Yeah, Pokemon's is. I mean, I'm more about investing in what I know I'm going to want, I guess, like long-term investment. But man, there's something awesome about what?
I said I want it all now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, there's something awesome about, you know, it's like winning the lottery. You buy a new system and there's like four amazing games. It's like, this is the greatest launch lineup ever. It's totally unrealistic, but, you know,
that's what it feels like, because, I mean, there haven't been a whole lot of people playing up until probably Nerdtacular this year, which was in the beginning of July. I feel like that was when I finally started to feel like, oh, man, everybody has a 3DS except for me. This sucks. And, I mean, the 3DS had been out a long time by the time that actually rolled around. And then, you know, as the summer kind of went on, it wasn't so much that people around me had 3DSs, although I did see a girl on the bus yesterday who had a 3DS. I was like, hey, we should be friends, if only I had the Street Pass thing. Anyways.
Do you have a 3DS?
I could just, like, hold up my 3DS and we'd be like, she'd look up and be like, huh, 3DS, eh? You must be GIS Gamer. And I'd be like, yes. And this way I didn't have to awkwardly say hello to you cool gamer girl on the bus. I was actually sitting there thinking, oh, she's a gamer. She's a 3DS. It'd be so cool if we could be friends, but there's no way that I can't make this awkward.
Oh, man. Has anybody written the pickup artist book for gamers? Like,
I don't know.
What's your gamer tag kind of thing, you know? Like, yeah, you need, like, gamer tag pickup lines. Why are we doing this live? That's perfect. We should write a book and sell it on a website that's really cheesy and has, like, a stupid voiceover.
Yeah, really. So if you were the girl that was on the bus yesterday in Halifax with the 3DS and the pink hair, yeah, I was the creepy blonde chick in the back going,
Challenge accept. I've been watching a lot of How I Met Your Mother, so this just is ringing in my head. I'm glad you're getting Pokemon. You're probably going to convince me to buy it, which I have held off on for some reason.
You don't have Pokemon yet? I thought you did.
No, I don't. I would have talked about it by now, wouldn't I have?
I don't know.
I don't have Pokemans. I was like...
We've talked about Pokemon before, but it's always been in like a how everyone else is playing kind of... It never occurred to me. I remember in the first week you said that you weren't getting it because Ashley wasn't letting you. But I kind of assumed that that would have been like a 1 week long ban or something.
It's what, because I did something bad? I didn't get in trouble. I wanted to buy a PS4 and these two Nintendo games, and it's like, well, you know. Yeah, come on, Ryan, get it together. I'm trying, guys.
So, okay, well, I am going to get Pokemon good. X, so you have to get Y.
Okay, which, is that the one because with the deer rules. Or the bird?
The deer.
You're getting the deer.
Yes.
Okay, good, because I was going to get the bird. Gee, what a great team we make. No wonder we made 100 episodes.
Exactly. I get the good stuff. You get the lame stuff. Works out perfect.
You picked a deer. The bird looks awesome.
Gems and sparkles and stuff.
Okay, and you're calling me...
with all my gemmy antler bits.
What? That just sounds wrong.
Have you not seen a picture of the deer?
I know it's a deer, and I looked the other way and saw this cool dragon-looking thing, and I went straight for that thing. Also, they don't have X in stock, so.
Anyway, so I think that pretty much does it for what we're playing this week. Like I said, we kind of went over everything that we're looking at playing over the next little while. Oh, I tried to play Kerbal Space Program. Didn't work. Not something that you should attempt after, like, an actual work week and, you know, like, when you're trying to plan an episode and, just that shit takes some brain power and, like, attention and the rest of it. You can't half-ass Kerbal Space Program. Are you still there?
I'm here. You shouldn't half-ass Kerbal Space Program.
Damn straight. So, we have something really, really exciting to tell you about this week, and it has nothing to do with episode 100, but I'm just so super psyched about this that it is very appropriate that it's happening on episode 100, and I have not even told Ryan about all of this craziness yet. So this comes to us from our friends over at Doghouse Systems. They are having the most epic of all promotions for Black Friday. So you get there. We're throwing codes out the window. Out the window. There are no codes. So you cannot use the code The Gamers In. No codes. Everyone who buys a system from, I'm going to get the date, so it's a 5-day event starting on Thanksgiving Day for you Americans. That's next Thursday.
October 12th. Got it.
No, not October.
Sorry.
It is next Thursday and ends on Monday. So that is, I believe, the 28th through December 2nd. Okay. Everyone who buys a Doghouse system gets a free 8 gigabyte of RAM upgrade, a $30 gift card to Slash Loot, and there are incredible upgrades to all systems that are listed in a blog post on the Doghouse Network website, which is doghousenetwork.com. So you can get all kinds of stuff here. We're talking like free upgrade to 120 gig SSD card for your actual operating system, which is how my Doghouse runs. And I couldn't even believe when I can boot my system to usable in 10 seconds. It's incredibly fast because of the solid state drive. So, you know, it's just these deals are incredible. You can also get a free upgrade to a 240 gig SSD if you have a dual graphics card configuration. So all of these systems are fully customizable. These are all the desktops. In terms of the laptops, you can get a free upgrade to a 750 gigabyte hard drive with all of the Doghouse laptops. So go check out doghousenetworks.com. The link to the actual post is doghousenetwork.com/P=2082. I have talked to them about changing it. It will be done eventually. But
come on, guys. Permalinks.
For now, you can head on over to doghousenetwork.com, and I'm sure that it is the first post if it's not highlighted or whatever. You'll find it on the homepage anyway. So head on over. There is no Gamers In code from Thanksgiving Day through till Monday. So that is November 28th through December 2nd. You cannot use the Gamers In code. You cannot use Scott's Henry code. There are no Doghouse codes for those 5 days. Everyone gets all of the same upgrades. We are super excited. You can head on over to Slash Loot with your $30 gift card. You can pick up a Gamers In shirt like this one. Yay, Gamers In shirt. Woo! Oh, Ryan's also wearing a Gamers In shirt.
It'd be bad if I didn't wear it on episode
100. I know, that's what I was thinking.
I was like,
rummaging through, going through the laundry. Where's that Gamers In shirt? Where's that Gamers In shirt? I'm glad it's audio and they can't smell me right now.
Wait,
so
yeah.
Head on over to Slash Loot. You can use your $30 Slash Loot card to pick up a Gamers In shirt. You can pick up an Angry Chicken shirt. You can pick up, what else is on there? The Instance. We've got the Morning Stream. Apply Yourself Breaking Bad t-shirt that Scott designed. The Best Pals one that his daughter designed. So many things over on Slash Loot. So if you've been waiting to get a Doghouse, please, please, please take advantage of this amazing promotion. And I'm not just saying this because they sponsor us and they're awesome. I am saying this because their systems are awesome, their customer service is awesome. And if you've ever wanted a doghouse and you can pull the money together, this Black Friday event is amazing. Take advantage, please.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty fantastic, guys.
I just went off for like five minutes and you're like, it's pretty fantastic.
You're good cop, I'm bad cop. If you don't do it, I'll break your legs. Does that sound better?
Exactly. Much perfect. Better. So anyways, that is our doghouse systems plug. We will remind you again next week. We will be doing a show next Friday because, again, Canadian, not American, so no Thanksgiving for us. But yeah, we will definitely be doing our show next week. We will be reminding you again next week because this promotion is not to be missed. Which brings us to our topic of the week, which is our 100th episode. Mm-hmm. So we are just going to go back over some of the stuff. I didn't actually write in episode numbers, but I'm sure we can remember them off the top of our head. So how hard can this be?
Google, people, come on.
Yeah, really. All of our archives are available at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find everything on iTunes. Full episode descriptions are also on gamersinpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Most of our episode videos from about episode 40 or 42 are available through YouTube. So if you want to, you know, watch us make asses of ourselves, me more than Ryan, really, then head on over to our YouTube page where there's all of our video archives. So
right.
We've had a lot of guests in the last 100 episodes. We've had Paul Swickard multiple times to talk about E3. He's been on to talk about BlizzCon. We just had him last week with the BlizzCon episode, right?
Yeah, it was just last week. He's interesting. I mean, he's interesting just on his own. But he's interesting as he was our first guest on episode 3.
Oh my crazy? God, I forgot he was on episode 3.
And guess what game we were going to talk about? We were so excited on episode 2. And we're going to have a special guest to talk about a special MMO. And
it's SWTOR.
Yeah.
Oh, poor SWTOR.
That was another example of me jumping into something right away and you waiting until it was pretty much, well,
dead.
You played SWTOR and it's dead. The 3DS is thriving now, so that wait actually worked out. But no, yeah, it was interesting. I think we were both playing SWTOR and that was our first sort of introduction to Paul. It was a lot of fun. That I remember that episode being interesting because that was our first, you know, having three people on the show and experimenting with that. And, you know,
absolutely. We weren't even used to just talking to the two of us. I mean, you can make the argument that we're still not used to just having the two of us on the show. But definitely having the three-person dynamic, it really works for some people. But for us, with our first kind of foray into podcasting, it was an interesting experience and a really fun experience. And you know, we thank Swick for coming on and supporting us and being so awesome all the time.
Well, did we like even know Swick at that time? Like I think that was the first time I had spoken with him.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing. I think that was the first time we'd spoken with him on mic. I had played games with him before and I talked to him in the chat room before, but and over Twitter and everything else, but that was our first voice experience. It was really fun.
Yeah. And now he does a podcast with me.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out.
And the very same thing is actually true about John Marstall, the Icon Master, who was on episode 15 to talk to us about Zelda because he was such a huge Zelda fan and so knowledgeable about the entire series. And I know that we kind of touch on, there's some episodes we talk more Nintendo than others, and you know, we often touch on the Zelda franchise just in passing. But if you have any interest in hearing thoughts on the franchise as a whole, thoughts on Skyward Sword, the whole nine, that episode 15 with John is really, really fantastic. I strongly recommend everyone go back and listen to that one. Our audio quality is okay, but the content is fabulous. So if you're not following John, he is Icon Master on Twitter, and you should definitely go and find him because he's fantastic. We should have him back.
I was just gonna say, I don't know if he's playing A Link Between Worlds. I know he's pretty burned by Skyward Sword, but
yeah.
but I know that he's a huge fan of A Link to the Past, and I can tell him if he is listening. I don't know if he still listens, but if he is listening, and I'll tweet him afterwards. A Link Between Worlds does address some, if not all, of those concerns we talked about on that show, and it'd be really interesting to have sort of like a regroup episode where we say, okay, we all played A Link Between Worlds. this is what Zelda's going to be like going forward.
Can translate it from the 3DS over to consoles and they keep the same sort of vibe to Zelda or what I think Link Between Worlds is going to be, then I'm really excited for the Zelda console experience. And that I might get you to buy it first and then I'll test it. But in general, I think that that might be what gets me to buy a Wii U, as it usually is with a Nintendo system.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that... I think you should be excited that there's one producer, and the way that Nintendo makes games is that they sort of have the guy in charge sort of direct the game. So if Anuma is happy with the changes with A Link Between Worlds, you better believe that he's going to be applying those lessons to the console version. And man, I really hope that it's as good as this handheld one. So
yeah. Our next guest was Lou Page, who came on. Did he come on to talk about PAX?
Yeah, he joined us for. It's funny going back this far because I feel like we just had our episode 52 where we talked about the year before, but it has been a year since. So we have new listeners now who we shouldn't skip over this stuff because they're like, you had 100 episodes. I have only listened to like the last 20 kind of thing. Yeah. So. He's joined us twice to talk about PAX East.
Yes.
He lives in Maine, which is a train ride away. Well, Maine is the state, but you know what I mean. He lives a train ride away from Boston.
He lives very close to very close to PAX East.
Geography.
So he has been very, very generous with his time and able to come on and talk to us about his experiences at PAX East because Ryan and I haven't actually had the chance to go yet. So it's really nice to have somebody on the ground and get that kind of feedback and have somebody that we can say, okay, we really want to know about this, that, and the other thing. Can you get us as much information about these things as possible and then come on the show to talk about it? So all of our experiences with Lou, he's been part of our Extra Life team for the past 2 years as well, and he is just this positive, awesome force in gaming, and he knows so much. Yes. Like, he is like the Dills of all the games. Like, Dills knows Warcraft and Hearthstone like nobody I've ever met, but Lou knows like everything about all of the most random games that you've never heard of. He's heard of them all, and he can tell you the plot and who voiced the love interest.
he's a lot of fun to talk to. I mean, him being such a knowledgeable gamer is sort of a detriment to trying to record Zombies Ate My Podcast, because we'll meet up at 8 o'clock to start recording, and then you know, an hour later we've finished talking about what games we're playing. It's like, damn it, we can't talk about video games before we record this because we'll be up all night. It's never Lou's fault. I mean, he's the one that's usually getting us to record, but it's my big mouth usually is the
always.
Issue. But no, those episodes are always fun for sure.
Yeah, and then so just before Extra Life last year, we actually had Terpster join us, which I know he is one of your podcasting. I don't want to say idols, but definitely one of the inspirations you look up to, and you know, someone that you have listened to for a really long time. And I know that was definitely a highlight of the last 100 episodes for you. Not that it wasn't for me. I mean, I always love talking to Terpster. He's a whole lot of fun.
I talk to Terpster all the time, you know.
But I do know that was a huge thing for you. And so what did we talk about, Terpster? Was that Halo? Because that's probably why I'm just kind of glossing over the whole experience. I'm like, Halo.
Well, I mean, I think it was a combination. We actually had him on to talk about I can't remember if he joined us for one of the Road to Halo 4 episodes, but the main...
He did. I feel like it was like ODST or Reach or one of the last ones, because it was right before we had Angus on to talk about Halo 4.
Yeah. You know, now that's reminding me. I think he was also... We talked a lot about Pandaria, which is crazy to think that that came out a year ago and...
More than... Yeah, like a year and a half ago we got Pandaria.
And he's like the Dills of World of Warcraft. I mean, you know, so like we're just gonna use Dills as an example of every
encyclopedia.
Yeah, we could have just said encyclopedia, but it's just so much easier to say Dills. I even screwed up saying encyclopedia. but no, yeah, that was a fun episode. And you're right. Like I've listened, even though he's younger than I am, I've listened to him since he probably started podcasting.
Yeah,
and. Having met the guy in July, I mean, he is as every bit fun in person as he is on a podcast. So If you have the time to nail him down and get like him when he has free time, although now that he has a house and he's getting married, goodbye free time. I can tell you that much. You know, he's just a blast.
Absolutely. And so I mentioned we had Angus on from 343. When was that? I guess that would have been the week after Halo 4 released.
Yeah, that would have been probably just after November. It was November when that came out.
Yeah, right? It would have been mid-November, yeah. So, yeah, my friend Angus that I went to high school with actually now works for Microsoft over in Seattle at 343. He's a computer engineer, and so he helped to build Halo 4. He was in charge of a lot of the multiplayer server-side features and making sure that all that stuff runs well, stays up, and kind of helps you have a better multiplayer gaming experience. So he came on and talked to us about the whole building Halo 4 and everything that he's been doing and what it was like actually working on a AAA title. So that was a really cool interview. And that was probably somewhere in and around episode 50, I want to say.
Yeah. And, you know, that was a really special episode for me as well. I mean, because that...
Oh, right. Halo fanboy. I keep forgetting.
Halo is... I'm going to ignore that. Halo is one of the my favorite games. I mean, I'm a big fanboy when it comes to Halo. But it was just interesting to have somebody on to talk about the inner workings of not only creating this game, but supporting it. You know, we got technical, which I think a few people in the chat room were really excited about. You know, like we started talking about Ethernet cables and people were like, yes, keep going.
That's actually one thing that I think that we need to talk a little bit more about is the more like technical hardware, you know, side of the game. Because we talk a whole lot about gaming experience and, you know, how we feel playing the games and everything else. But we don't talk a whole lot about hardware and, you know, different. I mean, that's everything. I mean, that's speakers, controllers, keyboards, you know, the whole nine. It's just there's so much to gaming outside of what we talk about week in and week out. So I think it'd be really interesting to explore some of that. Not that I'm an expert, but we happen to be very lucky in that we have a lot of friends in the industry, around the industry, in computer science, all that kind of stuff. Like, pretty sure that's what you are in. Are you not, Ryan? Computer science?
I did go to school for computer science. I do not tinker with the computers as much as I would hope, but... I did just get a new computer at work, so I like took a hard drive out that was failing. That was interesting. see, this is why we don't talk about tech, because tech is kind of boring. You know, this is why I love console game. It's like, ooh, PS4, I slot a disc in. Look, it's pretty. You know, you know, I think it was a very early episode when we talked about our gaming setup and our hardware.
It was.
We actually had people send us images. It was kind of weird because people were like, you know, pulling up the skirts of their computers and taking shots from the inside. And it was like, whoa, Facebook is going to get us banned for this stuff. Joking. But no, it was a lot of fun. And I don't think we even talked. We had the opportunity when you got that new doghouse. Did we even talk about the guts of that beast?
I don't think we did. I think I may have posted it on the Facebook page, but that's definitely something we can get into at a later episode about. I mean, I actually just did a presentation I'm taking a grad course over at Dal, and I did a presentation last night about GIS and gaming. Oh, cool. Because actually GIS and get like, I mean, I know I make fun of myself for, you know, my Twitter handle GIS gamer all the time, but GIS and gaming tech and game engines and just all everything that's driving the computer industry, they actually go together quite well, because a lot of GIS is it's mapping with computers. So if you take that map and turn it into something that's 3D, all of a sudden you get a 3D world you can walk around in and explore your data, which is just this really cutting edge, interesting thing. So, I mean, it does go together quite well. So, yeah, I just did a presentation on hardware and all the whole nine, and it's really interesting, and I think we should really explore some of that stuff. So,
yeah.
Without going into too much detail, because if we really go into a lot of detail with all of these different guests and all of our games and everything we've done, we're going to be talking for hours. But
100 episodes, that's 2 years, right?
Well, exactly. So, yeah, we did also have Joel came on. I don't remember Joel coming on, so I feel like he must have filled in for me.
He did. He filled in for you. I think you had gone back to Ontario for...
I think so.
For a visit. But, yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. I think that was... You know, that was early on as well, and we talked about Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Pretty much the whole episode.
Because he was so far behind on the whole Mass Effect series, and I think I had finished 3 before I moved out here. And then so he got a chance to get his hands on the whole Mass Effect series and really, really liked it. That's right. So shortly after Joel, we had Bill from Punish Props on, and he is probably, with the exception of the next person that we're going to mention, I would say that Bill is probably the highlight for me. He is so unique. We have so many people that are really into games and gaming and tech and all of the rest of it, but Bill is a cosplayer and a really, really good one at it. Like, he's so good that he makes a living at making props. So talking to Bill and finding out about his obsession with gaming and his obsession with prop making and just the whole discussion around what it is that he actually does was really interesting. And I think he's probably one of my favorite guests that we've ever had on the show.
Well, I mean, it was different than what we're used to talking about, because he talked about the process of creating these costumes as opposed to just like, you know, going, not talking about, you know, what we're playing, you know, just with a different person, right? I mean, most of these people are personalities, so when they talk about what they're playing, it's interesting. But when Duran was on, he talked about, you know, building his costume. He showed up, and I'm sure if we let him have like a costume break, he would have came back in a different costume. You know, that's actually a video podcast too, so you guys should, not him changing, but the show we recorded is a video that you can go check it out, and I'm not going to spoil what costume he's wearing, but it was very good. It was Batman-y, but it wasn't Batman. I gave it away. He was Poison Ivy.
The next person that we actually had on was to talk about the Xbox announcements that were, was it shortly before E3?
Yeah, yes, I think it might have been.
Because they had all those weird announcements that came the week before E3, as opposed to just doing it at E3. So, we actually had Scott Johnson on to talk about next-gen consoles, and
not worthy.
We lost him right at the end, and that was really unfortunate, but we had a good hour and a half conversation with him about next-gen consoles and how awesome all of that is going to be, and where we were going with gaming and how mainstream it was becoming and just what the things that they were doing and whether or not Project Spark is actually going to be a thing, which I really, really hope it is, because I still think that's going to be super cool when it happens. But
he was good to have on. I mean,
that was so much fun. It really, it was humbling for me because, I mean, like I mentioned off the top of the show, listening to his shows and interacting with the community is how we both got started in this. But talking to Scott made me realize how professional he is. Like, he knows a lot. There's no pauses. You know, like, he's got a plan. He has something to say. He's well-spoken. And I'm just like, man, I hope that after, you know, 300 episodes, I'm anywhere near the caliber of podcaster that man is.
Yeah. And his range is so great because, like, on TMS, he's usually pretty goofy. But then you get to the point where Therapy Thursday comes on and he's still goofy, but he's serious. But when we had him on the show, like, he would swing with wherever we were going. Like, we were talking about how crappy Xbox One was going to be. He'd get super serious and talk about, you know why this is bad or why this could be good kind of stuff. And then when it got jokey, he would join right in. It's just he was very fluid
and at first
it was a little, you know, it was like I'm podcasting with Scott Johnson, but
oh my god, I was so nervous.
Yeah, but after a while, it's you're comfortable. Although,
he makes you know, it's like he's aware of how his presence may make other people feel, and he's just such a nice, easygoing guy that you forget that you haven't been talking to him like he's your best friend for the last like 10 years, sort of thing. Like, he makes everyone feel at ease. He's a total pro, and you guys should all go back and watch that episode. It's a Gamers In special. It's not an actual Gamers In episode, so you guys can find that. It's in a separate playlist over on the YouTube page, or it's in line, I think, with our regular iTunes iTunes subscription. So everyone should go and listen to our Scott Johnson Xbox episode. We also had War Crusher, which was super fun because we got to paint War Crusher in blood across our video, which was super cool.
Yeah, I was a little pale after that. I mean, it lost a lot of blood, but, you know, it was worth it.
War Crusher's a long word.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got the scars to prove it.
But yeah, so we had him on to talk about... Crap, what was he? He was at E3. That's what we had him on to talk about,
right? No, he was PAX Prime.
Oh, he was PAX Prime. Okay. I was like, I know it was a con. I know it was a con. We had Swick back to talk about E3. We had Todd on to talk about PAX.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all caught up now. But, yeah, so you guys could... I can't remember what episode number it was. I should have had that all written down, but whatever. Check out our War Crusher episode because, again, it's so awesome to have people on the ground at all of these cons and mm-hmm. having kind of like an inside info person that can find out exactly what we and our listeners want to hear. So we also had Garrett fill in for Ryan one time, which was so much fun for me because that was slightly before we decided to start the Angry Chicken. Mm-hmm. We had never podcasted together before. We had actually never spoken before.
Oh.
We had tons and tons of like emails going back and forth. And I knew that like Joel and Garrett are very good friends. So I knew him through Joel and, you know, we've been tweeting back and forth, emailing back and forth. We've been part of AMOVE for about a year now. So that all came about through this friendship with Garrett, but I'd never actually spoken to him. And I was I was more nervous to talk to Garrett than I was to talk to Scott Johnson.
Well, yeah, he holds the keys of the castle. I mean, you well, piss exactly. him off, but he just pulls the plug, man.
Exactly.
No, I listened to that episode. I mean, it's funny. I kind of wish I was there because I feel like I don't know Garrett as well as I should, considering like we're on AMOVE
his and network. It. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a super nice guy. I follow him on Twitter and all that fun stuff. I listen to Angry Chicken and. All that good stuff, and I think that was a really fun episode, and we need to have him back on next time Blizzard does something crazy,
like absolutely.
Release a free-to-play game that everyone loves but can't get into the beta. Even though I'm in the beta.
I can't wait for Heroes of the Storm. I think that that's going to be a really fun time to have Garrett on to talk about all of that kind of stuff, but mm-hmm. That brings us to, I believe it was episode 98. It was just a couple of weeks ago when I couldn't make it because I was at HalCon. And we had Bob fill in, which I still haven't listened to that episode, unfortunately. But it is actually named Bobolin of the Storm. So I'm a little worried about what is in that episode.
You'll find out why I named it that, like, 2 minutes into the episode. He basically hijacked the intro.
I did see that.
It was his words, not mine. I was just like, man, I'm going to have to pull the plug on this like 2 minutes in. I got him back on track. I mean, I said, all right, you can have that, but the rest is all me, man. Come on now. No, that was a fun episode, and I let him have his fun. He's a jokester, but we had a lot of fun talking about BlizzCon. That was before our episode with Paul.
Yes.
We basically covered opening ceremony, geeked out about Diablo and, mm-hmm. and Warcraft and stuff.
Yeah. So we actually had a tweet that came to us from Jim Bean, who is another one who has been following us for a very long time, someone we are very familiar with, who pretty much responds to anything and everything that we ask of our audience. Mm-hmm. He is fantastic. So thank you so much, Jim, for supporting us over these last 100 episodes. And he responded as one of his favorite moments was actually the Bill interview. He said it was awesome and that Lou and Paul are always good to hear on the show. So I'm sure that we will have all three of them back at some point. But yeah, I mean, we are, I don't know how much time we're going to actually have left, but all of the things that we mentioned, all of the guests that we had generally were focused around specials that we did. Ryan and I did a Mario special all on our own. But we had John in to do a Zelda special. We have had Christmas and Game of the Year specials, which are always fun. I love our Game of the Year specials. Yes, no? You look like you're about to say something.
My computer is taking a shit fit. Our Game of the Year stuff's always fun. It's really interesting to talk about all the games that came out over the last year, picking our favorites. When sometimes, which is
always contentious.
Yeah, but I mean, most of the time, people, like, if they follow us, they kind of know what our favorite games for the year. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people listening now could probably sort out, what our favorite games of the year were.
I don't know what I'm going to pick, man. I don't know.
I will say this year has been very interestingly, like, kind of, there's a few standouts, but then,
yeah, you know, it's been quiet. I found that a lot of stuff that we thought was going to release in 2013 got delayed to 2014. So, I mean, like, I was really looking forward to Stick of Truth from South Park, and right. that got way delayed. And then, you know, we had Elder Scrolls and Wildstar and, you know, all of these things that we thought would probably be coming out in 2013 are now doing spring 2014. Mm-hmm. Plus with the console releases, everything through the summer and early fall, it was really, really quiet this year. So yeah. I'm looking forward to what we're going to see in 2014. But I feel like 2013, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about 2013 is that you can pretty much ignore anything that came out, you know, fall on, because all the stuff that came out of next gen isn't worth sitting around with, you know, your top games prior to that, like BioShock or, you know, things like that. You know, 2014 will be interesting, because I think to play those games of the year, you're going to need a next gen system. Mm-hmm. Or a PC. I mean, you're yeah. seeing a lot of those games getting a release on PC as well. I think
absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, we had a whole lot of special episodes, but really we had a whole lot of obsessions over the last 100 episodes. I mean, there are some games that span 3, 4, 5 episodes, some things that come up all the way through all 100 episodes, like Zelda. But what really sparked even the entire naming of the show, where we got the Gamers In concept, was from Skyrim. Ryan and I actually met by talking to each other in the Final Score chat room and then on Twitter about Skyrim, because we were just so obsessed and we loved the game so much. And we really wanted like a medieval-y kind of everybody get together and just talk about games in this like happy, fun, safe space. And so that's where we came up with kind of like the warm by the fire, sit down, have a beer, and, you know, pull up a chair at the inn and talk about games. So Skyrim was so crucial to us forming this show that we couldn't have an anniversary or a 100th episode or 50th episode, any episode without mentioning Skyrim.
Yeah, and I think if you go back to episode 2, where we did, you know, on our second episode, we did a Game of the Year special, but I think Skyrim was pretty high up there on both of our lists, if not winning one of
I can't remember what my Game of the Year was that year. I feel like it had to be Skyrim.
I think it was Skyrim.
I think it was.
I picked Portal 2, I think.
Yeah,
I think
the other way around. You picked Skyrim and I picked Portal 2.
Maybe.
I can't remember.
But I mean,
it's not important.
It's either one
Skyrim
or two.
Skyrim is a fixture in the entire Gamers In show. So also, I mean, we had Mass Effect 3 that we talked about. We had a huge spoiler cast that was like, was that over 2 episodes or was that just like 2.5 hours long? I can't remember.
we did 2 spoiler casts, or we did a spoiler cast for the series prior to 3, and where we talked about 1 and 2, and then we did a spoiler cast for 3. And as Leo in the chat room states, GIS Gamer is down, you know?
GIS Gamer is not always down, okay? Sometimes GIS Gamer holds her damn own, so just screw you guys. I'm out of here.
She did pretty good this extra life. She remembered to fill her powers, and, you know, that was one mistake that's going to haunt her for the rest
it's
of the show.
It's going to haunt me for the rest of ever. As long as I still use the GIS Gamer handle, that is going to haunt me. But we also talked a lot about Diablo 3, which is something I got free with my WoW annual pass. And WoW is something that we talk a lot about. I've kind of fallen off since the release of Hearthstone, but definitely the... I can't remember exactly what the event is, but there's obviously a WoW event, a world event that centers around Thanksgiving. So I'll probably be back in next weekend.
Great Harvest, I think.
Something about that, annual harvest or pilgrims something, pilgrims bounty, but I don't know, that might be the achievement name.
Shoot the turkeys.
Death to turkeys. WoW I've kind of fallen off on, but definitely once I started playing it, we talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
So sorry for all of you who are not fans of WoW. I hope we haven't driven you away from the show, but we also had our Road to Halo 4 series, which Ryan enjoyed way more than I did, although I am glad that I played the Halo series, because in the end, it's an experience that I think every gamer should have. It just, in the end, wasn't my cup of tea.
I think that was an interesting lesson for the show, and that was to make sure someone enjoys a series before committing to playing to seven games,
six episodes. Yeah,
I don't even think the episodes is the biggest metric for that one. I think it's the hours. You know, eventually Jocelyn's just, I'm just gonna watch all the cutscenes on YouTube, and I'm like, okay, for the sake of the show and you not killing me every week, well, that's fine. You know,
the worst thing for me was having to buy Halo 4 at full price and having to play it. And I mean, like, I returned that thing like 5 days after it came out. I played it all the way through to get the story, and then I was like, okay, I'm done. Screw you, Halo, I'm out.
I will say,
I saw Halo 4 pre-owned in EB the other day, and I was like, maybe I should give that another shot.
Don't do it. You know what?
You never know. I might like it. When there's no pressure, I might like it.
You make it sound like this is like we're being paid to do this. There's no pressure. I think that Halo 4 was a lot of fun for me, but I think that, you know, you can't force somebody to enjoy a game.
And the problem was that you were such a huge Halo fanboy that it was so hard for me to come into it with a gaming experience that had centered around, like, I didn't play Halo when it came out, so I had a gaming experience centered around more recent games. Mm-hmm. The stuff that I played when Halo was out was more like I played Sims, I played Nintendo titles, you know, really far removed from the world of Halo. So by the time I got into first-person shooters and sci-fi games and all the rest of all of that, everything was in the Mass Effect realm. Halo, the first one, was not that great.
Yeah.
In that context. So you were coming into it like, oh my god, Halo's the best, and I was coming into it like, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely interesting.
It was a learning experience.
And I think, learning.
I think we, as you've seen, we have not done a Road 2 since then, and I think it's because we're saving it for something that we know deserves that treatment. I think we could have done
a Road to BioShock, and that would have been safe. That would have been good.
It's probably too soon. The wounds were still there from playing through Halo, and it's just like, we could. We even said that, I think, on our Halo 4 episode, where it's just like, you know, we probably could do BioShock, but yeah, we didn't.
Yeah. We could, I think, do a Road to Legacy of the Void. I think that would be really fun.
Ooh, yeah.
Which brings us to our next thing that we were obsessed with, which was StarCraft. Once I actually got into StarCraft, which is about 3 weeks before the release of Heart of the Swarm, I played Wings of Liberty. I watched casting. I mean, Husky, love him. Mm-hmm. You know, I got so hardcore into StarCraft for about 3 or 4 months when Heart of the Swarm released. It was so good. And I feel like we could definitely do a Legacy of the Void Road 2. I think that would be great. Mm-hmm. And then more recently, of course, Hearthstone. Because although I have been trying really hard to keep all of my Hearthstone talk to the Angry Chicken, because I love doing the Angry Chicken. Dills and Garrett are amazing co-hosts. Mm-hmm. Not that you were not. I was trying to figure out, I'm like, if I say that they're really great co-hosts, is that saying anything bad about Ryan?
I understand.
How is this going to be taken? But I really do enjoy doing a show with Dills and Garrett. It's a lot of fun. Every Monday night is just, I look forward to it like crazy. So if you guys want your Hearthstone talk, head on over to the Angry Chicken. It is on the Amove TV network, and we have a blast every week. So I've been trying to keep my Hearthstone talk out of the Gamers Inn, but that has pretty much been dominating my life. I am loving that game.
Mm-hmm. I'm playing it not as religiously. I think I'm kind of in and out. I mean, I have my obsessions with it. You know, I've been exploring Arena. I finally built a deck. We played last week. I beat you a couple times.
That's true.
I mean, it just proves that game really is all about the luck of the draw, because I had some lucky draws there.
You had some insanely lucky draws. I had some insanely crappy draws, which is exactly what happened. I wasn't going to mention it, but I'm totally going to mention it because it makes me laugh so much. The Team Liquid Open tournament was last weekend. Dills failed to see the check-in link, so he didn't actually get to play because he missed the check-in by like 2 minutes, because everyone was like, dude, why aren't you on the list of people playing? And he's like, what do you mean? I've been sitting here at RARC telling them I'm checking in. And I'm just like, no, dude, there's a link. You have to click the link. And he was like, no. Oh. So he missed the check-in. Garrett actually ended up going against somebody that he knew, and he lost two straight. So the entire Angry Chicken representation at the Team Liquid Open was Garrett's, like, two up, two down, and out. And I was just like, I was so ready to be a cheerleader and be right in there with you guys for the Team Liquid Open. But I am actually going to be playing in the next Team Liquid Open. So hopefully between Dills, myself, and Garrett, we will have a better showing for the Angry Chicken in the next Team Liquid Open. So the last thing that we're going to do tonight, and we're probably going to try to wrap it up in the next 10 minutes or so, but Ryan had this amazing idea, and I am so excited about it, and we're going to get the live chat room to participate in this. I'm going to try to guess as well. Ryan has gone back through our episodes. He has pulled some of the craziest episode names that we have had, and we want you to guess, slash I have to guess or try to remember what it was that we were talking about that inspired the crazy name. So, okay, Ryan, here we go. What's the first crazy name?
So I'm going to quick fire these, all right? So the first one is go to Gandhi Town and start a rebellion.
Oh, Civ 5.
Yeah, that's easy.
You're warming me up. All right, I got this.
All right, next one. The very next episode, tainting your USB ports.
Ooh. Oh, man. Tainting my USB. What would I have been doing with my USB ports?
I think that might have been in reference to a news story we had from PAX where someone had actually hacked into a dev computer or something using a USB key. I can't remember, but I thought it was such a crazy one.
Like, okay. I don't remember where that came from at all. That's bad news bears.
Yeah. So the next one, loincloth of importance.
That was definitely a WoW thing.
Yeah, it's loot related. So I think it was either WoW or Diablo.
Or Diablo, yeah, that's possible. Yeah, definitely loot though.
Yeah. Okay. Exploding thunderballs.
Okay.
This one is all you because I remember you saying it.
Oh man. So it was me that picked the episode title or it was
No, you said it. You said exploding thunderballs. We were talking about a video game. I remember as if it was episode 23.
Episode 23. I don't know.
It was Diablo. It was, I think it was either the demo or something.
It has been so long since I have played Diablo that I did not even remember that there were exploding thunderballs in that game. I really think I need to either get back to it or just forget it was ever a thing.
Trust me. The best advice I can give you on Diablo 3, go to your Xbox, download the demo, talk to me next week. All right. Speak indie and enter.
Wait, I know this. This is the best radio ever, guys. Like,
yeah.
Speak Indian. Was this the Dear Esther?
No, it was Indie Game.
Oh, yeah. The Indie Game movie episode. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah. All right. Meat Cackle. You'll get that one right away.
Okay, that's Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, because
That was me telling the story about Joel hates the soundtrack to Super Meat Boy to the point that it is the only time in my gaming career while we have been living together that he makes me wear headphones when I'm playing a game. Anything else, he can either wear headphones or tune out or just, you know, enjoy it with me. He often sits on the couch and watches me game. But with Super Meat Boy, he was ready to strangle me, so I had to wear headphones. And every once in a while, I'd have the headphones on, so he had no context, and I'd just be like, ha! Nah. So he started calling it the meat cackle.
Yeah, that's I remember that. Yeah, that was an interesting episode. Also, Super Meat Boy was super hard. Tweak My Nostalgia. Probably
that must
about Nintendo.
Have been a Mario thing. Yeah.
Get Rampant with Cortana.
Oh, come on. That was a Terpster episode. Everybody knows that. Yeah. Terpster wants to get all rampant with Cortana.
Yeah. Get all up in that rampant. Anti-plasma armor for your badonkadonk.
Oh, that was such... Okay, we still get a ton of episode hits on that because I think everyone's just like, badonkadonk, what? Is this porn? which we are never putting porn in the title of an episode ever again, because I swear to God, somebody has to write in and tell me what 56 porno is, because episode 56 is called Porno Mad Libs, which is hilarious in the context of the episode, but not so hilarious when you're still getting 56 porno as search results in the top 10 with your Google report every week.
You actually guessed the next one, so that's very good. That's, okay. I think that's probably one of our most memorable titles, because you're right, we do get hits every week.
We still get hits. It's like, and it's not even like it's falling down to the bottom. Like, it's still like number 2 or 3 in our Google results is this freaking porno episode. We didn't even do porno!
No. We certainly did not. Rolling in bells and fruit.
Oh, come on. That was Animal Crossing.
Yeah, speaking of 3DS. Unhealthy obsession with grinding.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, indeed. And the final one.
Winning all the things. Is there a trophy for this, for me guessing all of these titles?
Yes, but you have to have a PlayStation for it to pop, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Got you by the GOTUS. It's an easy one.
Okay, that's too easy. You can't end on that one.
It was funny.
It was kind of funny, but still.
Have we played GOTA since? It's even funnier now. Not really.
I can't believe that we haven't played that game since. We should try it again now that it's had a little bit more time.
Yeah, now that it needed more time in the cooker. But anyways, that's the last 100 episodes. Now that we've gone through those, on episode 200, we can go through from 100 to 200, because...
That was a fun game. I liked that.
We say some stupid shit.
You do say some stupid shit.
Half of these are you.
At least half of them are me. Sometimes I don't think before I speak, and it's bad news bears. So yeah, we had a couple of people we wanted to mention that sent us tweets about our 100th episode. Again, in addition to our live chat room, thank you so much for joining us, guys. We've had a lot of people jumping in and saying ding or happy 100 or, you know, whatever. So thanks, everybody. We've got Leo in the chat room, who's almost always here. We've got JM Tibbles, who I think is new, who is also pimping StarCast. So thanks for that. We do love Garrett and everything he does. We've got Mike O'Dandy in the chat room. I'm trying to see who else has sent us happy 100th episodes. Oh, D Commander 1X. And Pickwit?
Yeah.
Something like that. That guy. Anyways, yeah, that guy. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us live every week. Thanks to everyone in the chat room who has wished us happy 100 episodes. Jim Beam on Twitter says he had to work tonight, so he isn't actually in the chat room, but wanted to say congrats, ding, achievement unlocked. So thank you very much. And also... Jeffrey D. Burns on Twitter said, this is the guy!
Yeah.
Okay, this guy sent us a tweet 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago now, saying that he had just started listening to the Gamers Inn and that he was marathoning it from episode 1 through episode 99 to try to make it in time for episode 100. And he tweeted us yesterday saying, I should finish my quest of listening to all episodes tonight, just in time for show number 100. So thank you so much for your commitment. We apologize for the first 15 episodes or so. Episode 1 especially it's something else. It's something else. It's a learning curve. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, it really says not. I mean, hey, 100 episodes is time to pat ourselves on the back. It really says something when someone will go through a catalog and listen to 100 episodes to get caught up. I mean, we try to, you know, make sure that our continuity is there. So something we mentioned on episode 3 is still stands on episode 101. I mean, I can't believe. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's like Lost up in here. I mean, usually when we end, just a big Gamers Inn pops up and then there's a polar bear in the background. I still don't understand why we have polar bears on the show.
We're actually watching that right now.
Lost? Oh, yeah, Lost. I'm so jealous. I gotta get Ashley to watch Lost. It's on Netflix, so.
It is. That's why we're watching it. But anyway, so that pretty much does it for us tonight. Again, thanks everyone for joining us for 100 episodes. Thanks everyone who has found us through Angry Chicken. Thanks everyone who's found Angry Chicken through this. And I think everyone should go listen to Ryan on Zombies Ate My Podcast and Sleeping with the Elephant, because both of those shows are fantastic. I actually really enjoy Sleeping with the Elephant. It's basically, it's a compare. It's Ryan and Swick, which right there is an amazing combination, but Ryan and Swick talk about all the cultural and political differences between Canada and the U.S., whatever's going on in the news and everything else, and I haven't listened to the Rob Ford episode yet, but I'm sure it's fantastic.
Well, the problem with Rob Ford is that he's too well known now, so it's not as fun to talk about.
It's not as funny, yeah.
It's more fun to talk about something that Paul has no idea about, but I mean, he can watch The Daily Show and learn about Rob Ford. So,
but
we don't record those live, neither Zamp nor Sleeping with the Elephant. But if you do a quick Google search, you can find them. The catalog's all up there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that does us for tonight. We are live every Friday night on A-Move TV at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm so confused now after an email conversation with Garrett as to whether we are in Eastern Standard Time right now or Eastern Daylight Time. So just 8:30 Eastern, and I'm just going to leave it at that. We would love to see you guys live every week. If you can't catch us live, our video archives are over on YouTube at youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can find everything we do on A-Move TV. And I think that pretty much does it. So follow us on Twitter. You can find me. I totally forgot the A-Move plug. Ah, I'm all off my game tonight. I'm just so excited about everything. So you can find us on A-Move TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, which includes StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, A-Move Radio, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show over at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all of our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. And you can also find us on Facebook and Google+, but I think I'm totally going to take this out of the episode because I never post over there. Really and truly, Twitter is the best way to find us. Mm-hmm. If you have any comments or questions for us, you can email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffitt, who created our music. You can find him on Twitter @SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week for episode 101.
Oh, we'll have Dalmatians on.
Will we? Nice.
Maybe.
You never know.
Back in my day, we podcast with audio.